Good morning. Hopefully we'll have some other folks come through those doors before they shut them. We'll see. We're glad everyone's here this morning. I hope you also brought your Bibles. We will have a couple of slides. You're looking at one of them up there. I'll have one after that. And everything else is in the Bible. So hopefully you brought your Bibles or your electronic Bible, whichever you choose. We're in 1 Corinthians this quarter. The young families are in the same study as we are. They're rotating, I think, four different young men that will be teaching that class as well while we're in here. Do we have anyone that needs our prayers other than those on bulletin that we've got listed on the bulletin? Let me get a bottle of water and we'll start. If not, let's open with a word of prayer and we'll jump into 1 Corinthians. Father, we're thankful for those that are in attendance this morning. We're thankful that we're able to come here to study a portion of your word. We're thankful, Father, for those you've helped with health issues. We ask that you be with all of those on our prayer list this morning, particularly those about to go through surgeries. Be with Debbie Whitchurch. She has shoulder surgery this week. Be with others that are still hospitalized and those going through various treatments. We pray, Father, that you'd be with each one of them. If at all possible, they regain their full measure of health. We pray that you'd be with us through this study this morning and pray that the things we do here will be acceptable to you and that we'll be able to use those things in our daily lives. We ask you to continue to be with us. Forgive us for those things we've done wrong. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Sonny says he knows where Corinth is. Can you see that red dot, Sonny? Where is Corinth located?
Bob says on the map.
See that green spot right there? That's Corinth. Athens is right there. It's in the southern part of Greece. It was a somewhat of a travel center and shipping center. Was an area that was pretty productive, was varied in the amount of people and their backgrounds that lived there. They had a number of different folks that were from various backgrounds. What do you think the two major populations would have been in Corinth in that day and time? Jews, pagans, it was a mixture. They had the idea that they were looked down on in a positive fashion from Rome. They had a lot of the folks in Corinth at that point in time were fairly well educated, various backgrounds, but after Paul had established the church there, they seem to have some difficulties. What do you think the main focus of Paul's letter is to the Corinthians? Some of us have been through Corinthians before. I'm sorry? Okay. That's one piece of it. What is Paul's main focus in about everything he does? Okay. Who plays a part in that? What is his main focus?
His main focus is teaching our brothers and sisters in Christ to God.
Bingo. Thank you, Jim. Paul's main focus is the teachings of God. His main focus is Jesus. Everything else revolves around that. Was he getting on to them as we go into this first chapter? Yes, he was. And we'll talk a little bit about not only was he getting on to them, he was trying to make the point, and I don't want to summarize everything here. If we do, I might as well sit down. But he was trying to get one major point across to them that they didn't seem to get yet, even though he'd had done some teaching before he left there. Where did he go when he left Corinth after he had first established the congregation there? Ephesus. Bingo. Traveled to Ephesus. That's where the letter... Well, I'm about to get the cart before the horse. He went to Ephesus. Let's read the first few verses of 1 Corinthians. Excuse me. And I'm not as good as David. I can't turn that thing off. And you just have to excuse me. It is what it is. Starting with verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be the saints, together with all those who are in every place, call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Typical opening greeting for Paul in most of his letters, not just 1 Corinthians. You'll see something similar to that by Paul in most of his letters. He goes on to say, verses 4 through 9, he's giving a thanksgiving. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him, speech and all knowledge. Even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you're not lacking any gift. As you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless, in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. There's the emphasis about what he's trying to get across to those in the Corinthian church at that point. We'll see in the next few verses where they had reason to be hearing this again. This is not new to them. This is the same thing that Paul tried to get across to them when he established the church there. But being human, do all of us pay attention all the time? I'm sorry?
To something.
To something. Okay, that's probably a good answer. We pay attention to something. It may not be what God wants us to be paying attention to. If we talk to someone, and it doesn't have to be very long normally, what do we find out about someone's likes and dislikes pretty quickly? Will they just be quiet and not talk at all? Will they talk about Corvettes? Will they talk about God? Will they talk about teaching God's word? What will they talk about? What's on their heart? Without a doubt. Is it okay to talk about cars and football and everything else that's going on in the world? Sure. Is that the only thing that is okay to talk about? No. If we are Christians, and most in this assembly are, if not all, that needs to be on our mind at some point. Should be on our mind most of the time. That becomes pretty difficult being human. God knows that. But he put us on earth with a mind of our own to be able to determine the right way we should go. Is that easy? Nope. And anybody that says it is, I want to talk to you for a while. Because you must have figured it out and I haven't. So, these people in Corinth, from that standpoint, are really no different, excuse me, really no different than we are today from a mind of Christ standpoint, other than what he's getting ready to tell them about why he is back where he is. Most of the Christians that I mentioned a little earlier were from various backgrounds. Would you have thought that they would have mostly been Jews? Or Gentiles? Mostly Gentiles. There were some Jews there, but they were mostly Gentiles, pagans as they called them at that point. Let's read 10 through 17, and then we've got several things to talk about then because the big stuff starts coming out. Starting with verse 10, chapter 1. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it's been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean, each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the house of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. So what were they worshiping after Paul left there? That's probably, Jim says, preacheritis, for those that are listening online. And I have to remind myself to repeat what's answered out here because our mic doesn't pick it up for those that are watching online this morning. But that's the bottom line, really. They were following other teachers. Were these other teachers teaching something that was wrong? Likely not. Apollos was very educated, very astute in the background of the church. Of course, he didn't have a Bible like we've got today, but he was very knowledgeable in the scriptures. He was very easygoing, able to teach, maybe better teacher because of his background even than Paul was. At least some commentaries seem to think that. Whether he was or not, is I can't determine that. But irregardless, we know that today we've got people that are definitely better teachers than I am, who I wish was up here this morning, by the way. But we still need to get the message across. The bottom line is what God wants us to do as Christians, and our main focus is to reach out to other people and make sure they become Christians. We've got other responsibilities as Christians, but that's one of the main focuses. That was definitely Paul's main focus. What had they believed in Corinth? In other parts of the world at that point as well, but particularly in Corinth. What did they worship? False gods, idols, any number of things. The word pagan there comes right at the top. They were worshiping all kinds of false gods. Once Paul had established the church there, you would have thought that they would remember, but if we take us today, why do we have all the denominations we've got today? We're all supposed to be worshiping one God, correctly? Okay.
This is the way I interpret it. If I understand teaching, there's only one way you can interpret it. There are no contradictions in the Bible. If you see something that's a contradiction, then you are reading it incorrectly, or you're taking it out of context, or whatever. So they kind of started going down their own avenues and denouncing Paul and some of the things and some of his teachings. So I think that was the reason primarily he was trying to regroup. I think Corinth was pretty close to its heart.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Jim says that the division is because we're reading what we think it says instead of what it actually says. The divisions in Corinth, which was the same kind of setup, they were listening to these other teachers. They probably weren't teaching anything in error, or I'm guessing they weren't. I have no way of knowing that, but I'm guessing they weren't teaching necessarily something in error, but as someone brought up a little earlier, they may have had some preacheritis. Well, I understood him to say such and such. Well, go back to the teaching, the original teaching of Scripture. Is that what it says? Maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. Was it taken out of context? Well, that could very likely be. That happens more often today than not. We'll see something, and I hate to even start down the road to tell evangelists, but not all of them are bad. I'll put that as a caveat up front. But, that's a big but, they're feel-good preachers, if I may. Is that all bad? No, it's not. As long as you tell the whole story. if you leave the part out that if you don't do things the way that God wants you to do them, if you are living in error, are you doing as they were doing at Corinth before Paul went back and following somebody else rather than following what God was teaching or wanting him to teach, then you're going down the wrong road. You're not going to wind up the same place that hopefully all the Christians wind up, where the scripture tells us we'll wind up. So we've got the divisions today the same as they had then. A lot different, because we've got, instead of two or three different ones teaching in Corinth, and whether they were teaching the exact same thing or not is probably in question. But you see all these different avenues that are being taught today, and a whole lot of what we see taught today is entertainment. If we want to entertain, well, we can put a band up front and make everybody feel great and be happy when they get here and be happy when they leave. Well, I hope as Christians we're happy when we get here and happy when we leave anyway. We may or may not be. Depending on what we have been taught that day and how we apply it to our own lives. That's the big question, is what we do with it once we're being taught. So Paul's getting ready to tell these Corinthians that they've got error. I mean, just like we just read in these last few verses. After Paul established that church at Corinth, they had various problems, questions had arisen. So some of the members of the church in Corinth, Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaeus, sent the delegation, including those three gentlemen, with a letter to Paul at Ephesus, asking for his response and for his counsel on what was happening within Corinth while he was gone. So we see 1 Corinthians as the start of that letter. So he starts out telling them where they have been in error, and instead of following what God's word was, they're following each one of these individuals.
Okay. If I might comment on preacher items, I think I really appreciate that, because that happens a lot. And I'd like to think that the folks in Corinth would be the maturity in them would say, I'm going to glean the good I can get from each one of these teachers, each one of these, but I'm going to measure all of it against what Christ said. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of me wants to look at the believers in Corinth and go, well, they're a bunch of poor misfits, you can't figure it out, because almost everything seems to be correction. But the more I try to distance myself from them, the more I find sometimes there's some connections I have with them that may not be really comfortable, and that consumerism is one of them.
Okay. Consumerism. Normal? Yeah, for the most part, being human. Like David was just saying, you know, you may like someone's style of teaching better than another. Is there a reason I didn't use slides? Yeah, because I used them all the time that I was working. So you say, well, then must be easy, so why not use them now? I got tired of using them, to be truthful about it. And I like to interface with the audience. Can I tell you everything you want to hear? Probably not. Probably tell you some things you don't want to hear. But if we don't get what's in Scripture and we don't understand it and we can't give some feedback one way or another, and I'm not saying that everybody in here has to speak up. If you do, I'm tickled to death. If you don't, I'll try to pry it out of you. I mean, Sonny can tell you all about Corinth. He told me earlier he could. Jim said he lived there, so if you know Sonny, we'll take that up with Sonny. At any rate, I would rather make sure that we're all tuned into the lesson, if you will. And I'm not saying you can't do it with slides. You can. Just like I just said, I did it all the time I was working. So be that as it may. The big thing for Paul was to get across to the people in Corinth, quit following the people that you like the way they teach. If they're teaching God, if they're teaching Jesus, if they're teaching salvation, then that's fine. But if you're just following that individual because you like that individual rather than concentrating on what the Bible teaches, and at that point the Scripture taught rather than the Bible per se, then you're not doing what we have set up to begin with as a church in Corinth, so that you're able to teach others. I don't know, I didn't look up to see what the population was of Corinth that during that period of time, but it wasn't a small town. It wasn't a Glenpool, Oklahoma. It was a somewhat of a shipping area because of its location, and they were able to get in and out of there without a lot of difficulty, whether it be on land or sea. So they had a number of people that they could reach out to. I don't know what the number was within the congregation that Paul set up there or had established there to begin with. But at any rate, they had a number of people that were smart enough, educated enough, to know what they were supposed to be doing instead of what they were actually doing. Right.
What they had was, and what they understood and what they knew was what they were told.
Mm-hmm.
So the things that were acceptable to them and whoever was speaking to them kind of guided them in the path that they were on, and Paul was trying to direct them and say, you need to be careful not to follow the human.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They did not. And so I think he was just simply trying to caution them and say, he laid down the wrong path so easily. So you can't go to the book and say, hey, Jesus, that's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Sit right here. And it tells us to approve all things, to test all things, and make sure that what we're hearing is truthful.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have that capability.
Right. They did not. They didn't have the Bible as we know it today. So they were listening to what tickled their ears, what they enjoyed, what they felt good about. But by the same token, Paul's main emphasis, back from the very beginning of this first chapter, is Jesus and Jesus' teachings and what happened in his life. They had no idea before Paul brought it up to them that anything else existed then and in the future and for eternity. They were just existing as pagans, basically. They had all these different goddesses, idols that they worshipped, but they had no idea what the real world held for them from a Christian's view. So that's the point that Paul started with. That's what he's trying to get across to them in this letter, coming back to try to get them back on track. And would it have been easier had they had the Bible, scriptures like we've got it today? Maybe. Maybe not. The difference in individuals and how they look at what they're supposed to be doing, what they were supposed to be teaching, who knows what could have shook out of that then versus what we see today. So we're all human. They were human. But they still wandered around the different direction than they should have been going. Paul tries to make it real plain to them what their future held. In verse 17, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of his power." So, Apollos and others that were teaching while Paul was gone, like I had mentioned earlier, were very educated individuals. They knew a lot about what Scripture taught. But how they taught it and whether the people that were listening to them understood what they were telling them, were they keying in on Jesus and what he could do for them, or were they wandering around using big words and trying to make sure that they were following them? And that may not have been their complete intent, but I get the idea that that's what some of was happening, or Paul wouldn't have brought it out in this part of the chapter. Let's read verses 18. Let's just read it. Yep.
Do you think Paul knew that Jesus had once prayed that his followers be united? Do you think that that would partly be included in what he was trying to say to them?
I wouldn't doubt that a bit, Bruce. Bruce said, do we think that Paul knew that Jesus emphasized that they should be praying to follow what Jesus wanted? Without a doubt, I think, for what that's worth, that Paul probably made that point. I'm assuming that he made that point when he established the congregation there to begin with. But as humans, do we sometimes forget what somebody has told us? Even though he may, and the way Paul teaches, he goes through things several different times. He doesn't just throw it out there and leave it lay and walk off. So I suspect he has made that point, but I also suspect they're paying attention to the other teachers and have forgotten some of what Paul had taught them to begin with, or he wouldn't be in the situation he is trying to get them back on track. So, I would agree with that, Bruce. I think that he probably did tell them that prayer was involved in what they needed to be doing. Did they pray to their idols and their other gods? I don't know. Probably. But it was wasted, as we well know. So, from that standpoint, we'd certainly hope that he had taught them to pray and what to pray for. Larry?
Say that this really gives me a lot of hope, because we're studying how Christ and God felt so much for the Corinthian people that they
Mm-hmm.
We now have the word that they've given us. And when will the Church of Christ start to look back on this and see what they were doing wrong and how much Christ wanted them to turn their life around?
Mm-hmm.
We need to read this and make the same dedication on our part to turn our life around. But this is the same thing that's happening today.
It's exactly the same thing that's happening today. Right. It's exactly what's happening today, and we need to pay attention, all of us. I'm preaching to me more than I'm preaching to anybody else.
Is it human nature, Jack, for people of the same size?
You think? Right.
They creep in on occasion, and I allow that to creep in, which I confess to many. But what I'm thinking is that's what Paul is trying to do, is to say, we've got to quit taking sides in this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they could, in fact, have been teaching very similar things, and yet, well, I'm following Jesus, you know, I'm on his team.
Right.
And I'm on Paul's team. And, you know, I think as human beings, we have to be careful not to get involved in that. And what Bruce just said and what you said about praying, I mean, David brought this up out of the pulpit. We need to pray for this nation. That's the only cure for it. We can't take time and decide to, these little things in the Bible. We've got to pray that we can put this country back together. You know, with the issues that exist, we've got to somehow get past them.
Right. I would not argue that. We all tend to follow not only what we believe, but what we think someone else believes. If we have a question in that, the first place that we ought to go, I'm not sure that's the first place that most of us do go, and I don't want to speak for any of you, I'm talking to me. I may not go back to Scripture to see if that's the direction I ought to be going, but that's where I ought to be going, is back to Scripture. If I have a question, whether it be from a political standpoint or otherwise, and I'm like Jim, I don't want to bring politics into this. That could get ugly real quick, particularly in today's environment. But these people in Corinth were in similar situations even back then. They didn't have all of the nice things that we have in this country, and most countries in this world do not have. If you've done any traveling outside of this country, you find that out pretty quickly. But by the same token, a lot of those people think the same way that we do. They're human. So if we're teaching them or attempting to teach them, we better be doing just like Paul was trying to do with these people at Corinth and get them back on track instead of wandering around out here somewhere else. Well, I'm following such and such. Carl?
Well, there in verse 17, there's a comparison made between preaching the gospel and preaching words of wisdom. And it just seems like there was men at that time who wanted to dazzle them with their brilliance.
Mm-hmm.
It still exists today.
Yep. We certainly do. We've got to watch out for it. And if you don't believe it, go online and listen to some of the religious organizations, denominations, whatever we want to term them by. And the message that they, the message that they're giving to everyone that's listening. And some of these organizations are covering the world. And I'm not exaggerating that. We're talking about thousands and thousands of people this day and time that are turning in, just like we are here with those that are at home and watching. And so the things that come out of that, if it's entertainment, instead of teaching what God wants us to do and how we're to do it, then we've got a problem. And we do have a problem as a nation in that respect. The only way that we can solve that is for us as individual Christians to reach out to those around us in our community. Can we reach to other places? Certainly we can. We've got missions that we support, you know, in Cambodia and Ukraine, India, different places that we provide support for those missionaries on the ground to do the same thing. So it'd be just like Paul, if we find out those mission works are not teaching what the Bible teaches, then, you know, it behooves us to do what Paul did. And we get a hold of them, get in touch with them, go over there, whatever. But irregardless, we're going to run out of time, but that's okay. We've still got the rest of 13 chapters. So let's read through from 18 to 31 right quick. And we'll come back to that portion of it in the first part of the class next week, because we've got a bunch in that section. Starting verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." We see that happening. We've seen it happen through generations and generations through Scripture. We see it happening today. People that think they're up here because they've got two doctorates and whatever, and I'm not beating on education. Education's a good thing. But if you use it wrongly, it is a bad thing. Going on in verse 20, "Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For the Jews demand signs, the Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ, crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to the worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. We would be 100% better off if we all did just that. Let the one boast, boast in the Lord. We can spend time talking about ball games. We can spend time talking about cars. We can spend time talking about everything imaginable that interests us as individuals. But we need to remember that somewhere in that conversation, and it didn't have to be in everyone, but God still enters into that. We're out of time. I appreciate everyone's attendance and participation. We'll pick up again next week. Bring your Bible. Thank you.